NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using promo code DKHOOPS and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with promo code DKHOOPS. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 and over in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
And we're back with the full roster, and we're breaking down the early season of the Detroit. What I mean to say is the Detroit Pistons. And we're going to keep that in there because we're
the
honest.
The Detroit Pistons.
Exactly.
Otherwise
Thank
known
you.
As.
Yeah. The Detroit Pistons. And we're checking back in with the Dubs, discussing a point guard showdown between Jalen Brunson and John Morant, and
who?
More with who? Oh, you haven't heard this guy? You haven't heard this guy? Even his own father, I think, finally heard of this guy, John.
Yeah.
Morant. Anyway,
yeah.
And more with Detroit News beat writer Mike Curtis on today's episode. I'm Miles Gray.
And I'm Jack O'Brien.
And this is
Miles and Jack got bad boosties.
Wow, okay. I like that.
Yeah,
that you knew
pretty.
I knew you were going for the alley-oop. I said, you know what? I'm throwing it up.
Mm-hmm. Just
I trust.
Left it for me.
Let God and let go.
Just threw it up, left it there, and then I jumped up and missed the ball.
And I threw it up too high because neither of us can
forward
dunk.
And landed on the stanchion.
I drop kicked a photographer on the baseline. Turns out. Wait. Mike Curtis is here. Hello, Mike Curtis. What's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, fellas. It's always good to get on here and talk a little bit of basketball.
Yes, yeah. Of course. You know, who are you a big fan of coming up? I mean, first of all, I'm sure when you say who you were like the biggest fan of, it'll probably age you. There have been a few shocking times when people have said the teams they're fans of, and I was like, I'm so old. But please, Mike, who did you come up on? And, you know, like who were your favorite players growing up?
The Buffalo Braves.
Bob McAdoo.
It's funny. I was raised in Saginaw, Michigan.
Okay.
Moved here when I was 4. And I pretty much grew up on the Pistons. So
okay.
That's kind of all I saw.
Yeah.
So grew up a fan of the Pistons. And I really enjoyed Chauncey Billups. Chauncey Billups
okay.
was my favorite player. And it wasn't just because he was the most flashiest. He wasn't the most athletic. He'd probably give you one dunk every year. But the way he was able to shoot and the way he was able to kind of lead that group of guys, that really stuck out to me. So I would definitely say Chauncey Billups is one of my favorites.
Okay.
Along with Dwayne Wade and Allen Iverson.
I mean, arguably one of the best, like the title team with the least like flashy superstar, like of the past 25 years. And like, yeah, gotta be a lot of credit for the leadership there, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like when you have a team with so many personalities, like there was Chauncey, there was Rip, there was Tayshaun, there was Rasheed Wallace, who pretty much got a tech on a nightly basis. And then,
yeah.
of course, you got Big Ben. In order for someone has got to like kind of corral those guys together and for Chauncey to do it, I think that was pretty big of him.
Did you see that stat that said basically for someone to get Rasheed Wallace's tech record, the NBA season would actually have to be 112 games in order, because with the new rules to prevent, like, because he had like 41 in a season. They said for you to get to 41 technical fouls in a season, you'd need 112 games just to deal with the suspensions that come along with it.
Yeah, I did not see that. And it's so funny because I think they changed the rule because of him.
Like, yeah, now, exactly.
Now you get suspended after your 16 technical.
Right, exactly.
I don't see how he hooped in Air Force Ones.
I think that's part of the mystery of Rasheed Wallace. You know, like, as someone, I mean, I grew up usually on the other side. When he almost became a Lakers coach, I was like, this is the closest I've been to Sheed. I need this because I've been such a fan of his. But yeah, his energy and hooping in high, like Air Force One highs, that's
different.
Yeah, exactly. I got to ask you, because I always like to ask our guests who are, you know, do this professionally as credible journalists with, you know, upstanding character. Has that evolved your ability to enjoy, like, as a fan? Are you kind of in the camp of I've now, because I talk and live and breathe basketball so much and cover it, that I've transcended to the point of I really appreciate it for what it is. And every now and then I get in my fan bag, but I've grown past it. Are you in that group, or are you still kind of in your fan bag?
Yeah, so it's funny. When I 2008, when Chauncey got traded to the Denver Nuggets for Allen Iverson, that's kind of when I separated my fandom from the Pistons as a whole. At that point, I still didn't even know that I wanted to be a journalist. Honestly, I wanted to be an architect because I was a really good artist and I wanted to make money. So
yeah,
I thought that was the best route to go.
Yeah.
Little did I know, math and me does not mix whatsoever. So I changed my major after my freshman year at Tennessee State and pursued journalism. But back then, that was the last time I was really a fan of the Pistons. And I think that allowed me to kind of come into this role with an objective point of view. But as far, I've always been a fan of the game.
Just like
fan of individual players.
But it's not like you wear like a lucky pair of shorts underneath your clothing, no matter what season it is, because that might help the team do better.
Not at all.
Okay. Like, okay.
I don't even wear the jerseys that I have anymore just because.
Wow. That's
yeah, mature. Well, I mean, I'm 5 months into the job, so
I'm going to wear
them again in the summer, but
definitely
not during the season.
Yeah. So Detroit's having kind of a tough run, you know? Yeah. Gone 2-8 over the last 10 games, and Cade was playing really well, but he's been out since I think early November, 11-9, I think. Might have a stress fracture in his shin. My thought immediately goes to Wembanyama. I don't know if that's, you know, I'm not a big Detroit fan, but we were running through the teams that are like kind of feeling that gravitational pull to the bottom of the standings, and of those teams, like, I think Detroit would be my favorite, like, just as an NBA fan, my favorite. You got Detroit, Orlando, Rockets, Spurs, Charlotte are all seem like they're in range. And, like, Detroit feels like having all three of those guys being young, coming up together, like, and also having a big man with the two guards, that would be exciting. Is that something that is crossing into the collective Pistons fan consciousness and Pistons beat writer consciousness, or how are you guys feeling?
Let me tell you this. So every time I tweet out the injury report, because the Pistons have been taking their fair share of lumps, and they're pretty much having five guys out pretty much every night, or they're being listed as questionable. So every time I tweet those out, the fans immediately say, oh, we're tanking. Oh, we're getting ready for Wembanyama. So the thought is definitely out there, especially since the Pistons are last in the league right now, 5-17. It's interesting. It's interesting when you think about like the trajectory of how this team kind of wanted to compete at the beginning of the season. And they were even fans even expected them to possibly compete for a play-in spot. But, that has quickly gone the other way just because of all the injury trouble they had. So, I think fans are starting to think that this team isn't going to be able to kind of get to that play-in spot. So they're definitely kind of looking towards the future. But I also think that they definitely want to start piling up some wins pretty soon.
Yeah, because it feels like every moment there's like something to feel good about, like injuries just kind of completely start the clock over. Or just like that's always been the big, or at least this season from what I've seen, you have, you know, like Kay getting injured or Bay like coming, you know, there's right when the rebuild or something feels like it's coming together a little bit, it just kind of sets you back. Now, I think for me, I was saying earlier, I was like, I don't want to feel like one of these arrogant fans who's like real patronizing to like other teams. I'm like, yeah, man, you know, I remember when the Pistons, they were one of the best teams. It just doesn't feel like the NBA without saying the Detroit Pistons are like one of the top teams. And I don't mean that to be patronizing, but it is something like I do wish I'd want to see the Pistons do really well. So however it needs to happen, whether that's through the squad they have or through new talent coming in, you know, like Wemby.
We already have like a repeat of the 80s with the Celtics and the Lakers. They're putting it together.
I didn't even say that to invite any objective analysis of the Lakers.
Put Philly in there too. Struggling. A little slow start. But I don't know. So, I mean, we are seeing the Warriors kind of start putting it together. A few of the teams that got off to really slow starts. You know, the Warriors started the year 3-7. They've gone 8-3 since. Steph's season is pretty bonkers. It's 31.4 points per game, 7 assists, 7 boards on 52%, 44%, and 91% splits, which is the same or better than his unanimous MVP season. So
that's insane when you think about it, especially since he's much older in his career now. But you got to think about how the team has kind of progressed. It appeared as if Clay was kind of regressing a little bit, but now he's showing everyone he could still perform at a high level. I think it took 4 games to get his 3-point percentage from like 33% to now it's at 40. So that's interesting. Draymond is still playing at an extremely high level, despite everything that happened in the beginning of the season with Jordan Poole. So I think it's interesting. They're pulling it together at the right time. I don't think anybody expected them to have the slow start, but I think we all expected them to kind of get it together and kind of get back on track.
Right. I remember at the beginning, I was kind of like, oh, what's happening to all these players that we thought were going to make good in this next season? But it is good now. Like, you know, Jonathan Kuminga seems like he's slowly kind of finding his feet there. And making it all work. And, you know, we were talking, it was only like 3 weeks ago. We were like, Clay, hello?
Yeah.
Are you there? It turns out, yeah, he's still there.
Clay said specifically that he didn't play a lot in the off season because remember, like he was coming back last season off of 2 injuries. You know, there was the one that happened in the finals. And then in the off season, he was, you know, so psyched to get back that he played a lot of ball and tore his Achilles. I think that was the second injury. So he like kind of superstitiously or not decided to not play a lot of ball in the offseason. So we're seeing him kind of play his way into shape. And that might just be what this looks like when you're just a little bit older.
Can't count him out. You can't count him out.
One thesis I had, and like I've just done very loose research at this point, but you know, talking about Steph shooting as well, I guess that's the one. He's 44% this season. His MVP season, he was 45%. But he's still like, you know, anything over 40% is pretty incredible. But just across the league, the 3-point shooting, like it started really hot. And I was like, well, we'll see regression to the mean. But we're still seeing like Yuta Watanabe is 57% right now.
Yeah, that's
57%. Yeah. And like not on like, you know, making 1 3 a game. He's shooting a lot of threes. KCP is next at 49.4%. George Niang from my 76ers is coming in the 18th spot at 44.9%. And I only bring that up because last year's leader for 3-point shooting was Luke Kennard at 44.9%. So I have like, I'm just wondering, did they figure something out? Like, did the offenses figure out something to like scheme to get better looks? Is it just people building their game on top of past games and like past practice regimens and protocols and like just figuring out like this is what you have to do to shoot well in the league, and just everybody's getting better and better as the 3-point shot becomes like a more and more important part of offenses? Because you don't you don't expect it to like go up that much. I kind of consider 3-point shooting percentage to be a thing that we're at a steady level now. You know, obviously in the 80s, I think I was looking up like what the percentages were year over year, and they also had decade by decade. And in the 80s, it was like 28%. It was like people just threw it up at the end of a shot clock, basically. But it's kind of got to 35% in the early 2000s and is stuck there. But now it just feels like this season is an outlier for some reason. I don't know if that's a sign of things to come, or like even if you go by team, you know, the ninth ranked team is shooting 37.4%. The number one team last year shot 37.3%. So like even at a team-wide level, it's much higher. The Celtics are leading the league with shooting 40% as a team from three.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what could it, because that's like a pretty big jump. That's what I'm like, are we missing something where someone who's more, you know, has an intimate knowledge of how the stats work would be like, it, like you're saying, like, is it going to regress to the medium or median or what? But it seems pretty pronounced when you're like, yeah, and the 18th best shooter is shooting as well as the best shooter last season.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting. I don't want to make it this simple, but it could it be that teams just aren't playing a lot of defense? I think that could be an aspect of it, because you got a lot of teams now that are switching almost everything. And sometimes a big is on a guard, sometimes a guard is on a big. And
yeah,
nowadays, a lot of guys only need this much space in order to get their shot off. So that could be a contributing factor, but I think it is interesting how there are a ton of guys just lighting it up from 3-point range right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. The switching, that does seem to be a trend, right? The like change this year. And presumably like the only reason that somebody would pick up on a trend and like make it their defense's kind of MO is because they think it gives them an advantage. But yeah, obviously if everybody's shooting better from three, then that's not really the case. But maybe it's leading to better inside defense or something. We might have to have a stats on. What was the guest we had that one time who's like the number cruncher?
Oh, yeah. Was it Tim?
Yeah.
Oh, but I mean, look, and I think another thing, if they're going to be taking, you know, new approaches to defending, I just have to shout out, you know, the cornet, the cornet, hop up in your face.
It's spreading, baby.
Because Marcus Smart even pulled it. And yeah. I just these two clips just kind of brought a smile to my face, because there's something so funny. I don't know about why, just like the simple, hey, I'm gonna jump in your face and hopefully throw you off. But the first one is, where is it at? Here we go. This is from last night or two nights ago. I guess that'll be Sunday for those listening. But here, this is against Washington. I just want to play this clip where you won't see it, but you will know that Cornette takes the leap and Jordan Goodwin is not able to make the shot.
He's in the paint and just contests the shot by jumping straight up. And we've seen him do this throughout the season. He's like, it's the thing I've always done. And the numbers back it up. I haven't like done the dive on the numbers, but presumably he has. And then later in the same game, I think it might be the next possession.
No, this is later. This is later in the game. But yeah, you got Marcus Smart even saying, you know what? Let me go ahead and try that cornet contest.
Again, jumps from, you know, he's a little bit closer, so he hasn't fully.
But it was so early. You know what I mean? Like, when I see that, I'm like, okay, if you have the defensive player of the year being like, Let me see if I want to even tinker with that as part of my game. I'm like, there's got to be, he must be seeing something. He's like, there's something to it. I'm still trying to put my finger on it, but
yeah. You know what that reminds me of? I used to be a big video game guy, and I still am. I play 2K from time to time, but we used to play NBA Street, and you used to just sit in the paint and just wait until your opponent shot their 3-pointer, because you could jump all the way up and just block it and take it out of the air. So that's
goaltending. Yeah.
It's clearly goaltending.
Yeah. Right. Well, see, that's why I need somebody to do a game breaker in the middle of the game, like in NBA Street. and see if they really can, you know, come with the same effects. And I need Bobito calling the game on the sideline, because that was one of my favorite parts of that game.
That's a legend.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe people are just giving up on defense. They're like, I don't know, I'll just jump from the paint and see if they miss the three. And that's why three-point shooting percentage is better. But
right, they're like, you're only seeing the two times that worked.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, across the league, it's an epidemic of accurate three-pointers.
But we do talk about how players like build, you know, the league, the play is progressive. Players get better by building their game on top of other people's games. Like, we talked a few weeks back about Bones Highland and like how he has this like herky jerky ability to like get a foot of space while in the paint as a, you know, smaller player. And like, I don't know, that reminds me of Ja. I'm sure he wouldn't be like, I modeled my game after Ja, but I'm sure watching somebody who can create space like while staying close to the ground is, you know, something that at least is inspiring to be like, oh yeah, I do that move. I just never thought I could do it in the NBA or something. So
yeah.
But like 3-point shooting, you don't expect them to be like, oh, try and make them. Interesting.
Right. So, hold on, Steph. So what are you trying to do? So you're trying to make them when you shoot them? Oh, okay, Wardell. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Get that one in.
All right. Let's real quick talk about our underrated performers of the week, which is the segment where we highlight some of the best performances that may have flown under the radar of, you know, lesser NBA fans than us. Obviously didn't fly under our radar, but George Niang scored 18 off the bench, 5 for 7 from deep in 23 minutes in a win over the Magic. Mm. Not for nothing, but Philly is 6-2 over their last 8 at the time of this recording, with the last 3 games being without Embiid and Harden. And I believe the last one was that without Maxey, and they won by 30. So I don't know how they're doing it. Christian Wood put up 21 points, 7 boards off the bench versus the Bucks, kind of slowly gaining the trust of Jason Kidd. Seth Curry is coming back to being Seth Curry, 29 points off the bench, 7 of 10 from deep. So, I mean, with Watanabe and Curry, like, just bombing from deep, that makes them much more dangerous. And then Malcolm Brogdon, 17, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, and 23 minutes off the bench. Like, that's exactly why we were like, ooh, that trade is scary.
Yeah, I was waiting for a name, and you didn't say it.
What's the name?
Kevin Knox.
Kevin Knox.
21 points. 6 of 8 from 3.
Ooh.
And they helped. He helped the Pistons beat the Jazz over the weekend on the 23rd.
Yeah, that was actually 5th on our list. We just didn't include it. But yeah, that obviously did not fly under our radar.
No,
yeah.
No.
And that was pretty significant just because he's had kind of a up and down career since he's been drafted to the Knicks as a lottery pick. That kind of didn't pan out. He played sparingly when he was with the Hawks, and now he's trying to get that quote unquote second chance with the Pistons. So they really enjoy the intensity and the level of play that he's brought over the past week or so.
There it is. All right. Should we take a break? Come back, talk about LeBron, Zubac, you know, the two first names that get pop into your head when you're thinking
of
NBA.
Man.
LeBron and Zubac, and then we'll be right back.
Together again.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using promo code DKHOOPS and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with promo code DKHOOPS. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 and over in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
And we're back. We're just talking best masked performances.
Yeah.
A la Rip Hamilton, you know, who just liked it so much he kept it throughout his career, the masked man.
And even then, we couldn't even give him a superlative for Rip Hamilton. Because my
top five shooting guards of all time. I mean, I think that's pretty rarefied air. But you know,
we were
pointing out that LeBron put up how many with a mask on? Put up 60?
61, I believe.
61.
Put the mask back on, LeBron.
When Embiid plays with a mask, it feels like how I would feel. Like, it's the most I ever identify with Joel Embiid. When he's has a mask on and he's like, can't see. And like, it's just like, I hate the way it feels on my face. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, you get
that
it.
That is me after two houses of trick-or-treating when I was a kid.
This thing kills. Just want to get out of it.
But LeBron stepped into the time machine.
Yeah.
This week.
39. Like, again, over the Spurs, as many people were reminding me, I was like, hey, did you see that? So they were really trying, and they still got by. But yeah, he continues to impress. Although, look, I have to watch every game with restrained excitement, because I just have to say now, my bar is that we improve. That's all I want. I just want to see some kind of incremental improvement. And then I'll probably get to the new year and then completely lose my mind as a fan and then be like, how come we are not in the playoff race right now? But for right now, it is nice to see. And it is nice to see LeBron still, I think, showing people that he's still LeBron. Because I know, like, as of this recording, we're going to be playing the Pacers. And Mathurin, if you remember, he was like, I don't know if anybody's better than me right now.
Yeah.
So that has a potential to be a very interesting game. But yeah, it's nice to see.
And Matthew is playing extremely well. Like, he's definitely in the running for rookie of the year. Especially if Paolo can come back and kind of get back healthy, and Jaden Ivey has to come back and get healthy too. But I feel like that's the 3-man race right there for rookie of the year.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if LeBron comes out with a chip on his shoulder.
Right.
Because the rookie's been kind of talking trash to start before we even play the NBA game. So,
which I like. Yeah. You know, a lot of people are like, man, he's lost his mind saying stuff like that. But part of me is like, you know, let these young guys come in there with their chest outs. And maybe if LeBron has to remind him of his age or whatever, then so be it. And if not, then we have a fun moment. But I'm not as mad, because I'd rather see people be a little more arrogant than humble sometimes. It helps inspire others.
This also makes LeBron both the youngest player to ever go 35-10 with 7 made threes and the oldest to ever do it, which, yeah.
Wow, there you go.
But Lakers started 0-5, 7-6 since then. 7-6 with Russ coming off the bench, shot 22% from beyond the arc through the first five games. And I don't know, LeBron's three looked really like the best I've ever seen it in that game. You guys were saying that that was an anomaly, but just like the stroke felt like very smooth and all one motion. And I don't know if he could put it together, that would be
this
something.
LeBron James guy can put it together.
I think he might be making some noise later this season.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see.
I remember there was a point in time where we didn't even talk about LeBron in the regular season up until a certain point, maybe until March, April, when the playoffs were starting
to
kind of get going. But since he's been in L.A., barring 2020, the 2020 title, it's always a conversation about, are Lakers going to make the playoffs? Can LeBron get it together? Does he have enough help? And I feel like we have that conversation every year.
Yeah. And we'll continue to, especially when LeBron is just in the papers too. He's like, write this part down. Say, Lakers now believe they are two players away from potentially being contenders. Yeah, write that. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Super Producer Jabari just said he's currently at 28.7% from deep, but rising. So,
hey, that would have been good in the 80s.
That's right. That would have been league average. Zubac. So, this feels more like the season we've been seeing, which is people like the league average, the players who I think were perceived as replacement level, just coming through and wrecking people like for a game or two. Zubac put up a 31-29 versus Indiana. 31 points, 29 boards, 3 assists, 3 blocks. First player to do that in an NBA game since Kareem in 1978. So
that's a compliment to say, like, you're putting up Kareem in the 70s numbers,
right?
You know what I mean? Wow.
Yeah,
that's okay. Wow.
I definitely think it was a mistake for the Lakers to trade away Zubac.
Oh my.
Yeah, I think that was one of their biggest mistakes in terms of kind of the LeBron era, because you had a solidified center who could score in the post. He could rebound, he could block shots. I think they definitely missed out by trading him away to the Clippers.
Oh yeah,
I don't know. They got good return, right? They didn't get anything.
I don't even remember who was involved in that trade.
I mean, first of all, it was against Miles Turner, right?
Exactly. He put up those numbers against Miles Turner when the headline previously was like maybe Clippers.
Yeah.
Now, I think there's two theories. One is that Zubac was like, oh, okay, watch this. Is this your God? Is this your king? Like when he comes through and he's like, this is who you wanted? Or did Miles Turner be like, I don't want to play over there? Yeah, go ahead, bro. Do what you want. I don't want to play for the Clippers.
That's a very Laker brain interpretation.
That's mine. Yeah, you saw what he did. He was just trying to put him off, man. That's what he was doing. But yes, it could be. And I think, but yeah, it was. It's impressive, and I think it's a moment, too, where it inspires another player to perhaps be like, oh, hold on, this person may take my spot? Let me do something.
I mean, there's been a lot of, like, Ja versus Brunson was a lot of fun, that back and forth. Ja ended up having a triple-double, 27, 14, and 10. Brunson had 39 assists, 5 rebounds. Brunson's been, his last 4 games as this recording, like 30, 32, 34, 27. So he's who they thought he was, I guess.
Yeah. I saw this headline that apparently the first time ever Ja Morant's dad, like ever in Ja's career, this is the first time his father asked for his jersey from a game.
Yeah.
And was just because I think he said his dad has like a very special feeling about Madison Square Garden and the fact that he had a triple double there. He was like, okay, son, you know what? I believe the hype now. I guess you are good at basketball.
My dad once asked for my jersey after a game, but it was more the way that like a police captain asks for someone's badge when they really screw up. Just be like, hey, man, I need your jersey on my desk in the morning.
Hold on, man. How did you put the ball back? A defensive rebound or in a free throw? And you just put it back. What was that?
And it was a 3 somehow? On the other basket?
I mean, look, I got to tell you, man, that step back 3 was cold. But
the wrong basket.
Just the
again.
Wrong basket, son. I need your jersey and your sneakers now on my desk.
0-for-8 from 3 on your own basket, but 2-for-3 on the opponent's basket?
How? Yeah. Oh, man. And then Jeremy Grant, too, also scoring 44. I know we'll look at back on our predictions in a later episode, but I feel like very early on, I think we were saying, why look out for Jerami Grant this season, weren't we, Jack?
I was saying that. He's liable to put up 38 and 12. Sorry, I was reading the wrong stats. He's liable to put up 44 points against the Knicks in an OT win without Damian Lillard.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's in a really good position now that he's kind of out of Detroit. I think he was kind of tasked with being the guy when he was here. Mm-hmm. And it kind of led to, it kind of didn't fit, especially the way Detroit wanted to have their roster with Kay coming in. Now Kay gets to kind of shoulder that offensive production. And Jeremy kind of gets to play. I think he's the third option behind Damian Lillard and Simons. So he gets to kind of play free in a way that I don't think he had the opportunity to when he was in Detroit because so much attention was on him. So he's having a really good year.
And that's when you add a scorer like that, sometimes it can be, you know, they need the ball too much. It's like they're a gravitational force and like the offense kind of collapses around them and it's not as helpful or is not as good a fit. But like to add somebody who is just like, by being the third option, it actually helps my game is pretty, that worked down nicely for them.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take another break and we will come back with the fastest segment in podcasting, the rapid fire.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using promo code DKHOOPS and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with promo code DKHOOPS. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 and over in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
And we're back. Mike Curtis, you thought you were ready.
The great state of Michigan
can only prepare you so much for what you are about to endure. I know the winters can get cold over there, but nothing is colder than this segment, more unforgiving than this segment called the rapid fire round of questioning. Now, we're going to ask you a question. You just give us your answer, just reflexively. Don't think about it too much. Just keep it moving, okay? Because we want to keep our title as the fastest segment in sports podcasting, with a show that starts with an M.
And okay? I do just want to clarify that your seat will be hot. The fire is rapid, but our responses will be cold and unforgiving. Just so exactly. Because I know it can get confusing sometimes.
Oh yeah. Sorry, yeah, I'm still working. I'm kind of working that. I was just gonna say because you know, Mike, you're paid to write words. Do you have any notes for that?
How was that? That was pretty good,
okay.
Right?
Okay, good. That's what I thought, Jack. You see, Mike Curtis said it was okay, so I will no longer believe you when you try to throw hate on my name. Well, it sounded like he said it was pretty good based on what I heard or how I interpreted
enthusiastic.
Anyway, let's get to this. This is the rapid fire round of questioning.
Start the clock.
Jackson, you want to go first?
Yeah, I would love to go first, Miles. Thank you for asking.
Good. Go first. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, enjoy. Okay. I thought you said, oh, first. Okay. No, but no. I'm going first, right?
Yeah.
Mike.
That's what you should do.
You can pick any three sharpshooters from history for the ultimate three-point shooting contest. What's your three?
Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Ray Allen.
Oh, Ray Allen.
Now, wow. What is it about Ray Allen that made you say that?
Ray Allen, I think it just because his consistency, he releases it the same way every time. It doesn't matter how he catches it. It doesn't matter where he is on the floor. I think it's pretty much consistent. With Steph, it doesn't matter how it comes off. He's pretty much, he has that muscle memory down.
Right. So
it's pretty much always going in. And then with Klay, we've seen him as one of the best stand, if not the best standstill shooter in league history. So
who wins between them?
I'm going to say Klay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll say Klay.
Wait, on a hot night?
You got to keep, ooh. I'm sorry. You know, Jack, I know what you're about to say. On a hot night, this segment has to be going faster.
Exactly. On a hot night like this, I'm sweating over
please,
here.
Please, man. We got it. We got to keep this going.
Yeah,
I'm
you
got to
give me a hard one. I was ready for
that. Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, Mike Curtis, how about this one? Now, you have the chance to win $10,000 to make a layup with each hand, $25,000 to make at least 4 of 5 free throws, or $100,000 to make at least 3 of 5 from deep. Which challenge are you taking?
I'm taking the free throw challenge.
Wow.
Okay.
Confidence.
Last week, got the same answer. 4 out of 5, you're feeling real confident. So you're...
I don't trust my left hand with the left hand.
Wow, yeah.
And my range is kind of limited since I'm 5'6". So
gotcha.
I'm not going to shoot any three-pointers.
Yeah, the layup... Man, I remember layup lines on the left side. I used to have panic attacks. Right. I'm like, I would pray. I would go up with that left. I'm like, please let it... Yes, thank you. I'm still on the team.
I would do like a reverse layup on the right side, but then I'd accidentally run into the rebounder and then, you know, I'd shout and one, but it would never go in. Goes back to the pitch that we've been sending to the NBA. I guess we might as well say it on the thing. Replace the three-point shooting contest and the dunk contest with free throw shooting contests. You know,
thank you.
That's what people want to see. Free
that's
throw
it.
Shooting.
They don't want to see anything else. They want to see who's consistent over and over again.
I would like to see that with the worst free throw shooters in the league.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
That would probably be better, like, better viewing experience.
And like, yeah. And then like people who have no business dunking in the dunk contest, like just invert all of them. You know what I mean? Like the worst 3-point shooters in the league are now also going to be in the 3-point contest.
So, like, to add some fun to their dunks, they have, like, choreographed dances ahead of each one and then just do, like, a little, like, one-handed dunk.
Whatever they got to do. You know what I mean? And they get more props. I think these are all fantastic ideas.
These are great ideas.
Yeah.
So, I think I'm up. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think
so. Can I get a ruling from the judges?
Yeah, it's you.
What is a new rule, Mike, that you'd like to see implemented or altered effective immediately? And this can be as, you know, serious as outlawing defensive 3-second, or, you know, as silly as taking the air out of the ball for a quarter and everybody just has to play with a floppy basketball.
Yep.
Okay, I'll go semi-serious and say I want the NBA to implement the FIBA rule where you can touch the ball when it's on the rim.
Ooh.
Pretty much blocking it. So I think that'll be pretty entertaining, especially when guys aren't as used to it. And everyone probably thinks it's goaltending, especially if you haven't watched the international game. So
right.
I'll say that one.
That feels like something that if somebody was good enough at it, you could just time it so perfectly that like you just get somebody who is one of the best volleyball players in the world and just come and spike every shot the second it gets to the rim.
I like that.
Yeah. And they need to introduce a stat for it. How many shots did you block off?
Right.
If one of the best players in the league already happened to be a great volleyball player when they were young, like, I don't know, Joel Embiid. I like this idea.
Was he a big volleyball player?
Yeah, he was a volleyball player. That was
he's a multi-hyphenate.
Yeah.
A multi-hyphenate, this man. Mike, I said, man, what did we say? We got to keep this going. I got to ask you one of the most important questions I've ever asked anybody on this podcast, which is, Mike Curtis, what are your top three throwback jerseys of all time?
The Royal Blue, Kobe Bryant, number 8, LeBron's rookie jersey, the white one. And let's go with Jordan's red 97-98. No, black 97-98 jersey.
Oh,
pinstripe.
Yeah.
Classic.
That's a jersey I always wanted. And I remember the shorts. I could not find the shorts anywhere in LA. I remember that, like, that year, that was like the hottest hooping item you could own were the black Bulls shorts. Couldn't find them anywhere. They say to this day, I haven't recovered. And that's why I got into podcasting. I believe them.
All right. And finally, most important question of the night.
Yes.
I know Miles likes to say that that last one was the most important, but this is really it.
Arrogant. You should note that.
Mike,
kind of arrogant.
Is it Jack, Miles, or super sound engineer Brian?
Miles.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
No, that's right. That's the right answer.
That's correct. That's correct.
You passed, Mike, with flying colors.
I knew you were intelligent. I knew you're an upstanding journalist who had just the sense of and judgment of character. Like, I knew. And also, remind me your Venmo again so I can send you that cash. On an unrelated thing, Jack. Completely unrelated.
We even gave him the out of Brian and he picked Miles.
Wow. I don't even know what I just answered.
Yeah, but you did answer confidently.
You did answer, and you answered correctly.
You gave it some thought.
We did, and look, we like to have them pick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We just...
And it's totally fair. And that would be my pick as well. No offense to Engineer Brian.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you so much. You honor me. You honor me. But Mike Curtis, thank you so much for honoring us by appearing on our show. Where can people, you know, find you, read you, follow you, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, no, thanks for having me again, guys. It was really fun. My Twitter is Mike A. Curtis 2. You can find me on there, at least while Twitter's still active. You don't know if it's going to be here tomorrow.
Sure.
But if not, then you can find me at the Detroit News. I'm pretty much writing stories pretty much every day. So check me out there, subscribe, and thanks for all the support.
And we asked a listener which game you would travel back in time to experience. And our Boosties listener of the week, Aaron Ann McSee, who said, as I heard the intro music today, I thought this is Jack's week to finally get chosen during rapid fire. And then he wasn't even there. Womps. In reference to the last episode where I was missing because I was, you know, working with my therapist about the fact that I'm 0-30, I think.
It's not a part. Look, records are meant to be.
No, it's okay. And, you know, my therapist was like, just walk into it. Prepare for the fact that you're never going to get picked. She was like, you're never going to get picked in this.
I also like that we're like, which game would you travel back in time? And then Aaron's like, man, I can't believe Jack took a L and he wasn't
again.
Even there. Like, Aaron, please have some just.
Yeah. No, I like that
here.
Too. anyway, make sure you give us a follow on Twitter at Mad Boosties.
Yeah.
BOOSTIES. And,
exactly.
You know, I'll continue to keep improving and getting, you know, better. So maybe one day I get a win. But even if not, I'm going to be happy and comfortable
with
it.
That's good. Good attitude. That's what I like about you guys. Hustle players. You know
Thank
what I mean?
You.
Just flying all over the court, giving heart. You know what I mean? May not have all the talent, you know, but you got the heart. And that's what matters a lot. All right.
If you ever invite me back on, I'll be sure to pick you, Jack.
Oh, thank you so much. And it sounds like it would be genuine and totally earned. So,
and you know what? Why don't we invite you back right now and do that last question over again?
No. It's okay, Miles. This is what we talked about.
This is what
my therapist talked about.
You're right. You're right. Well, shout out Dr. Phil.
Dr.
Hey, at least you're listening. Tim McGraw, thanks. Shout out to you, man. Well, thanks so much for listening this week. We'll be back next week and tune in for the mysteries that surround the league and whether or not our guest will make the right choice during the rapid round of questioning. Until then, we'll be us at UBU. Bye.
Bye.
We'll be right back.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.